Ooh.
Oh my gosh, it feels so good to be
It
back.
does. Oh my God. What a great time to be alive, ain't it? Ain't that right, Ryan?
I would agree with that.
I
I
think so.
would.
Yeah, I'm having a great start to my semester
Are you? Tell me about
of
it.
my final year. It's
Why did
very
I do the
sad.
Jurassic Park theme song? That's not sad.
No, it's like scary. But yeah, it's gonna be my last year here in the studio. It's kinda sad.
It is kind of sad.
I know. I'm gonna be off. So you're gonna have to find a new recruit
We will.
to take my
The
spot.
applications are open. Hit my line.
Yeah, hit his line, please.
Well, actually, I think we have some news. Actually, let's not share that yet. We'll share that at the end of the season.
We should.
A familiar voice will actually be taking over Peyton's chair, which is very exciting. Peyton, you had an
No
amazing summer.
way.
Please tell me about it.
Oh my. Okay, so I was actually lucky enough to be granted a scholarship here at the Emory Henry. I was given the Emily and Williams scholarship, and they gave me money to study anywhere in the British Isles. And then I also won $500 for study abroad for the karaoke contest that we have every year. And it's actually coming up this Friday, so I'm going for a three-peat this year. So hopefully I'll win 3 times in a row. I'm really excited for that. But anyways, yeah, so I got that, and then we're also in the Bonner program, and I really appreciate them for giving me some money as well to take over to the UK to help me with my studies over there. So, where did I choose? I chose the University of Cambridge. It was one of the best experiences that I could have ever imagined. With that being said, a student that my mom and dad never went to college, they never flown, they've really never traveled. So for me to be able to go by myself and take that on, just me, was pretty cool. So I met a lot of people. I met people from all over the world, from Hong Kong, Japan, South Korea, Turkey, France, many different places, and also places from the US, such as New York, and some students from Michigan State University. So it was a cool time. I took many different classes. One was how nanobiotechnology is revolutionizing healthcare. Text that didn't make it into the Bible, a criminal minds class, which was really intriguing. A cell neurobiology class, and then also took another cell biology class, which is kind of what I want to do with my life, which is to become an eye doctor. So it was pretty cool to be able to be a part of those classes with many different people, and the age ranges with that was between 18 and 65 plus. So I met people from all over. I met an older gentleman named Greg, and then I met another guy named Tom. Tom was actually in my nanobiotechnology class. He was from Houston. He actually had cancer, so that's one of the reasons why he was actually in that class, was to learn how they were taking nanoparticles and going straight to the site, shooting an ultralight beam at the section of where the cancer's at, and it would blow up. And well, that sounds blow up, but it would basically explode where the cancer is to destroy it. So you're not really deteriorating the rest of your body with, radioactive stuff. So yeah, it was a cool time. I have so many stories. I was telling Meg I could probably sit here for hours and hours and hours talking about my experience. Me getting in a taxi, I thought I was getting kidnapped. I was on the wrong side of the road. I was hoping and praying that the guy was going to take me to where I needed to go. I was in the car with him for an hour and a half. Yeah, it was a cool time. I had never been in an Uber before. I'm such an oldie. I've never been in an Uber before, never been in a taxi, never been on a train, never been on a subway, and I did all those. I went to London as well.
Peyton, what was the most rewarding part of this trip?
That I not only learned from my teachers, but I learned from my peers. And
What'd you
it's
learn?
that I guess kind of being in Bonner too has taught me that too. But for me to actually get outside of my shell and go to another country and make friends with people from all walks of life, and to know that, like, for me being in a small little hometown, like an hour away from here, and me like going out and making friends with other people from all walks of life, can t
Yeah.
like you can tell that you can make friends with anybody in this world. It doesn't matter where you're from, who you are, or anything. And that's the main thing I really learned. I got to talk with people of how, like, one girl, she would have to translate for her mom and dad so she could talk between the two, and you learn how, like, their life is a lot different than my life, but we can kind of connect in ways that might be simpler. Whether as the girl was from Malaysia, and she loved Morgan Wallen. Well, Morgan Wallen lives like an hour down the road from me, so we talked about that. So
Yeah.
one little connection that you have with a person can go a long, long way. So now most of the people that I met over there, we still have connections through different apps, social media, and stuff. So
That's
they, so
amazing.
once you meet them, they're always there for you. So That's probably the most important thing that I took away from my time being at
Yeah.
the University of Cambridge. So,
Amazing. Meg, tell us about your summer. We're getting the mic over to Meg.
I went to Cuba in May.
Yeah, you did.
I also went out of the country. It was not for as long as Peyton went. I was only there for 10 days with the amazing Dr. Finney on the on a mass comm study abroad trip, and it was a lot. It was like that was my first time, second time ever on a plane, first time out of the country, and everyone thought I was like a psycho for my first time going out of the country, going to Cuba,
Yeah.
of all places. You can't technically like legally be a tourist as an American in Cuba. So we were there like as for education, or like our thing with customs was we were supposed to say we were there to support the Cuban people because we were bringing donations and stuff. We talked about, I believe, at some point with Reggie and Anicia about the project that we did.
Yeah.
We actually, the whole trip is being turned into multiple episodes of a podcast, which is very cool. Those are not completely done yet, but the other project that we did was the service part of it. That was part of my summer service for Bonner, was that service project, which was we did a lot of donations in general of stuff that's not easily exported to Cuba from America because of the embargo. So like things like shampoo, conditioner, soaps, contact solution,
Yeah.
all kinds of literally like anything that you could think of that's so easily accessible here is so inaccessible there. Like clean, like drinking, not clean or unclean water, but water that like we were rationed to a liter a day of water, because it's like it's the same as going to Mexico where like people in Mexico can drink the water out of their tap because their stomachs are used to it and whatever. Same thing in Cuba. Our stomachs are not used to the water in Cuba and like how they filter their water and whatever. So we had to only drink bottled water and stuff like that. We stayed in what I came to think of, they called them hostels. It's not what I would think of as a hostel.
Yeah.
We were very, very blessed to have like the greatest tour guides ever, Miss Sylvia.
Shout out.
Shout out Sylvia. They did everything for us. Like I was not confused at any point during the trip. I was not uneducated about anything that we were doing. I was not scared, uninformed, nervous
Yeah.
about anything because they were so good about
It's amazing.
it was so cool. And what I would refer to the houses that we stayed in three separate ones because we went to Havana, Cienfuegos, and then we were in a smaller town for a tiny little bit of time. But we did things like we did a lot of culture and music stuff because it is a mass comm class. So that was the other part of the service project was we partnered with a music store in Marion, I believe, to get some music supplies to Cuba, like guitar picks and extra strings and tuning equipment and stuff like that, just because it's not easily accessible there. Just as, you know, simple basic things are not accessible there either. Other cool things that we did there were we went to a tobacco plantation
Ooh.
and got to roll our own cigars. We also went to a coffee plantation and learned about coffee being made in Cuba. My favorite thing that we did on the trip, which was semi-educational, it was like one of the last days that we were there. We went down, it was when we were in Cienfuegos, and we went to a beach, basically, and they got us a catamaran, like a boat, like a big catamaran. And we all went out on the boat and got to snorkel over a coral reef, like in the Caribbean Ocean, directly under Cuba. That's the coolest thing that I've ever done in my entire life.
Yeah.
Like, have barely ever been anywhere, and I got to snorkel over a coral reef in the Caribbean off the coast of Cuba, which was crazy. We had, I think the most rewarding part of the trip was the last couple days of the trip, we had a band travel with us because we were, it was a music center trip. We had a band. I don't think I got their exact ages. Somebody else would probably be able to tell you, but the youngest was 19, I believe. Okay. The girl, she was a singer. She was 19, and it was a band of like five, and they traveled with us on the bus. They stayed in the hostels with us or whatever. And we, Amy, the singer, the girl, she was the only one who spoke pretty good English.
Mm-hmm.
So we communicated through her with everybody else. They went out and, you know, hung out with us and like experienced like the nightlife in Cuba with us.
Yeah.
Did like everything with us. It was so cool. They played us music on the bus almost every day.
Uh-huh.
And then they would play us music, like the coolest stuff ever, because they know American music and they love American music, and that's what they want to be performing. So like I had them play like a Lynyrd Skynyrd song because I was like, please. And they were like obsessed with it. They loved it. That was the cool. And you know, they ended up getting a lot of benefit from that as well, which I think was super rewarding. They had never been to Cienfuegos. They had never been out of Havana from what I know.
Yeah.
They just hadn't really ever traveled through Cuba, and they went out on the catamaran and snorkeled with us too. Like they got to do everything that we got to do. Just as it was basically like an educational exchange. It was very cool.
Amazing.
What did you do this summer, Ryan? I like your sweatshirt.
Thank you. We'll get into the sweatshirt in a second. First part of my summer, I went to the Bonner Summer Leadership Institute in Montclair State University, Montclair, New Jersey, which is it's really cool. It's about 30 minutes outside of New York City. So a bunch of Bonners from all around the world. We had people from Hawaii and Florida, all around the world. I mean, the U.S., but like Hawaii and Florida and all these like small colleges and big colleges all came together. And it was a 4-day conference in the city. And Amelia Terry, who's been on the podcast, we all know and love her. She and I presented chats, which we talked to Megan Hamilton about that curriculum. We did it with a room full of college students and adults that we had never met before. And it was amazing. We got to take some trips into the city and explore some different parts of New Jersey. We were on a 9-hour train ride from Roanoke to New Jersey. And that was a long time to be on a train. One thing I didn't know about riding on a train is that from Virginia to Washington, D.C., you can have diesel-powered engines. But from D.C. north, those gas or fuel engines are not allowed. They have to be all electric. So in D.C., they had to unhook the thing that provided power to the entire train. And it was so hot for about half an hour, and the doors wouldn't open, and you couldn't use the bathroom. You just had to sit there. And oh my goodness, it was like Dante's Fifth Circle. It was crazy. But and then the electric train was a lot faster than the other one. So I had never traveled by rail before. So that was a lot of fun. Lots of cool little little moments, because we boarded at 6 a.m. and we got there about 4 or 5 p.m. And oh my goodness, it was amazing. So many great memories. Shout out to our friends from Christopher Newport University, Christine and Chris, who listen to the podcast, and hopefully we can get them on sometime. Meg, I'm telling you that now. I kind of forgot about it. We love
working. Were they a Bonner Exchange with us?
They were.
Well, then they're our best friends.
They are our best friends.
Everybody on that trip is our best friends now.
Yes, and we'll see them soon.
They were forced to stay in the cabins with us, so yeah, they're now our best friends.
We've been.
The Amtrak is crazy.
It's bonkers.
I would argue to say that is the best form of travel.
I agree. There's no pre-check or long lines. No, you just find a seat, sit down.
Do I feel 1,000% safe on the Amtrak? Now, they are a lot better about it once you get past Charlottesville, because it's bigger.
Yeah.
But getting on the train at 6 a.m. in Roanoke,
mm-hmm,
they don't check your ticket until you get to Charlottesville most of the time.
I thought that was just a one-time thing with us, but
nope, every time. I've taken the train to D.C., and there's now two Amtraks that run out.
Yeah.
When I took it, there was only one. So you had to get on at 6 a.m. You get to DC around 11. And then the train back to Roanoke leaves at around 6:37 at night. And you get back at like almost midnight.
Yeah.
But yeah, you could just get on that train. If you want to go to Charlottesville, you could just get on.
I kind of like it though. It gives a little bit of edge.
There's no actual train station in Roanoke. It's just the platform.
Yeah. So
it's the platform and the track. And then I watched the starting of when they started unloading all the stuff. But did they let the people who were getting off in DC get off first? Because they let us get off first before they detached the diesel.
Yes, those people got off first.
Yeah. So we got off and the person I was with was super interested. So we sat on the platform and watched them like basically take it apart from the outside. And it was very cool to see.
Yeah.
But
we were just kind of
when I took the Amtrak, it's gotten significantly more expensive.
Okay.
It's also more expensive to get to New Jersey, obviously, than it is to just get to DC.
Yeah.
But when I took the Amtrak from Roanoke to DC, a round trip ticket, so there and back, cost me $14.
That's crazy.
And
it's more expensive now.
Yeah, at the time, that was when the gas was like at the highest, and obviously nobody wants to try and park a car in DC.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The hotel that I booked was like right outside of the train station, so we just took Ubers if we wanted to go anywhere else.
Gotcha.
And it was so much cheaper than driving up there.
Yeah.
It was very cool.
It was a good experience. I really liked it. And then I got back to Roanoke a couple nights later. Peyton is moving the microphone very slowly.
I am. I was trying to be quiet.
It was cool. You're doing a good job.
Thank you.
And then that night I started my job at summer camp. So I worked at a summer camp for 7.5 weeks. We just round that up to 8. So we spent some extra nights there. Many joys and challenges of working at a summer camp in the middle of nowhere. It's the best summer ever. You know, you make so many great memories. And we were able to have around 400 kids that were anywhere from 4.5, 5 years old up until like 17 or 18. It was so much fun. It was very much a summer of doing things that weren't part of your job description. So I was the media coordinator. So basically it was a glorified photographer, right? But it turned into a lot of like, oh, somebody needs to go buy chlorine. I guess we can send Ryan to do that. I did not know the dangers of hauling chlorine in the back of a Subaru Crosstrek until they made me put my car on the loading platform at the chlorine factory.
No way.
Yeah. They were like, if you could just back it up into number one. And like, you know how like those loading docks are like 6 feet in the air?
Yeah.
Like my hood like touched where like you walk on. I was like, what the heck? Yeah. And then the lady was like, yeah, just be really careful. She's like, this stuff is like very flammable. I was like, okay, thank you. So I did that. We did a lot of cool stuff. I got a bicycle this summer.
No way.
Yeah, I'm now proud owner of an electronic bicycle.
No way.
It's an e-bike, Peyton.
Whoa.
So it's got a couple modes. There's like regular mode where you just like pedal,
there's
right? You don't want to do that.
There's got to be a sport mode.
I'm getting there. Second mode is pedal assist. So you pedal and then it pushes you a little more, right? Then the third mode is what Peyton would call sport mode.
There we go.
It's like my Dale Earnhardt Jr. mode because like it's got a throttle on it. And you can just hammer down on it. And it goes 30 miles an hour.
Man, that's awesome.
That is awesome. Dude, you got to take it for a spin. It's up at the apartment.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. Speaking of, now we're back. Peyton and I are neighbors.
We are. I love my RA, which is Ryan.
I'm him. I am the RA.
Yes.
Meg also joined the residence life staff this year. Meg is in the area that I worked in last year. You're with the first years.
Yes. Formerly referred to as Hems, now referred to unofficially, maybe, as Besh.
Okay.
It's an acronym for the buildings that we're in charge of. Okay. We used to have Mawa. That's why it was Hems, Hickory, Elm, Mawa, Sullins.
What does the B stand for? Oh, Blakemore.
Because we have Blakemore now.
Blakemore, Elm, Sullins, Hickory.
Yep.
Besh. I like it.
Besh.
We're in the Hive area, Peyton. Hive doesn't stand for anything, but
I'm third floor Elm. I'm the third floor Elm RA. I honestly, it's been a very rewarding experience.
Yeah.
So
we're
far,
only like a week in. Yeah.
I love being with the freshmen.
Yeah.
You know, some people it's not for them. Some people it's really not for them. But I think that where Ryan would not be for me.
I'm at the University Apartments with my co-host Peyton Derrick. And lots of joys and challenges of working at the University Apartments. They recently just finished construction, so we still got a lot of gears moving up there.
It's been kind of hard, I think, at the beginning.
Yeah.
I moved in and there were still workers coming in and out.
Yeah.
Trying to get it as ready as fast as possible. There's still stuff they're trying to add in.
Yeah, there were a lot of delays, and one of the people told me like things that they just like wasn't in their control. It was all supply chain, but
I will say that I'm very impressed.
They are nice.
They are very nice, and I'm glad to spend my last year with some of my best friends that I've went to school with,
yeah.
especially during COVID. Those people that I've made friends with during COVID that didn't leave,
yeah,
we're even more closer because we stuck through it, which is really cool. So
I did have to shoot you a text yesterday.
Yeah. So
what was happening?
Speaking of that, listen. So
Hold on. I'm sitting in my room. Okay, I'm just chilling there. I have like the rare 30 minutes to myself. I'm like, I'm gonna lay down on my bed with all the lights off, and the walls start shaking, and I'm like, what is happening? Like, what? And so then I go outside, and my roommates and I have this, it's the Warhol painting of Elvis, and it's, like, hanging up in our living room. And the thing is, like, going, like, moving against the wall, like, and I'm like, what is happening? It's like Dunkirk in here. And then I go over to the wall that Peyton's bedroom is on, and I feel it. I, like, put my hands on it, and, like, it's like, and so I'm like, Peyton, I need you to turn down whatever you're watching.
Yeah, so he sends me that text, and I'm actually, we just got out of a Bonner meeting, so I'm sitting there, and I'm talking as usual, so I'm talking for, like, an hour, hour and a half. Patton left in front of the cafe. He shoots me a text. It's Peyton, what's going on? I said, I have no idea. I'm about to go there right now. I go in there, walk in, I look over, and we have a surround system, like a movie surround system. I walk in there. Well, they're watching Rampage on the TV, so they're watching the big gorilla run down the streets, and it's probably just shaking the whole place because, I mean, that's what's happening. There's buildings falling. There's reptiles running around.
Yep.
They're in there watching it. So I went in there and told them, and I think they turned it down, and they didn't know how to use the remote, so I turned the bass down on it, so I think it hopefully stopped. So, but, yeah, we have that in there, so we love having movie nights. So I guess they wanted to have movie night last night.
Movie nights are good.
Yeah, they are.
You know the movie that I obsessed with over the summer?
Let me hear it.
No. What do you think I'm going to say? You're going to think I'm going to say Oppenheimer, right?
Yes, I've seen that. I actually didn't get to mention that. I did see that in the UK.
You did.
And it was really cool.
I've seen Oppenheimer twice. I really like that movie. However, when I'm at summer camp, I didn't know anything about Oppenheimer,
yeah.
Obviously, because
right.
I'm disconnected from the world. But for some reason, in my delusion, I remembered the entire plot of the Disney movie, Meet the Robinsons. Do you know what I'm talking about? Meg's going for it. Yeah.
Arguably one of the best films of all time, I'd have to argue. I'd say if you're going to put Oppenheimer and Meet the Robinsons next to each other, I'd say Meet the Robinsons probably kills Oppenheimer in ratings. I don't know the facts on that, but I'd say in my head, Meet the Robinsons absolutely kills Oppenheimer in the ratings.
Actually, after some research, Meet the Robinsons was kind of a flop.
That every movie that I say is the best movie on planet Earth had a 2%
makes a deep cut hot
and
take.
Okay, it's every time I'm like, that's like one of my favorite movies ever. I look it up and somebody's like, I heard that it was awful, and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. It's the greatest movie ever made, probably, and it has a 2% Rotten Tomatoes rating. And I'm like, whatever professionals are in charge of that should be fired.
Okay,
I should be the only person working in Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, if you haven't seen Oppenheimer, go see Oppenheimer.
It is really good. It's really loud. I wore earplugs like a nerd in the movie theater.
I wouldn't have an apartment if Peyton's roommates were watching Oppenheimer, I think.
It's very, very loud. I wore earplugs when I watched it just because it was too much for me.
Yeah.
I would definitely go see it again. I want to see it. I don't know. I've seen everywhere that you're supposed to try and see it. In certain movie theaters that have
IMAX 70mm is what it was shot on.
What the 70mm whatever.
Yeah.
I live in Roanoke, Virginia, and I went to the Tanglewood Cinema, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
That movie theater that's behind the Barnes and Noble.
Yeah.
If you live in Roanoke, you absolutely know what I'm talking about. It's the smallest one, so they definitely don't have that.
Good summer for movies. Barbie also came out. We know that.
Love Barbie.
Asteroid City, the new Wes Anderson film came out.
I have not seen that.
Good one.
Clearly, I haven't seen many Wes Anderson movies considering my Rotten Tomatoes in my head.
True.
I just make it up.
Think of the worst movie, and that's probably Meg's favorite.
Absolutely.
Maybe we can get Tommy Britt on to talk more about. I feel like he would have a hot take on Oppenheimer.
Part two.
I'm down for a part two.
Do you think that it would be okay if we did an entire episode with Tommy Britt, just not us speaking at all, him just talking about Oppenheimer the whole time?
We can just give him a call. Yeah.
We can do that.
Cool.
We can do that.
Well, we got to wrap this up. We had some amazing summers, and I think we're excited for season three.
Season three.
Peyton is in a far corner.
Me and Peyton have to share a microphone still. We need a new budget.
My kids.
Sorry, I'm trying over here, you know what I'm saying? But
if you all just sat next to each other, then if you sat next to each other, then that okay.
That would be nice.
For those who weren't in the room, they're struggling.
But you were right. I think we all had some pretty intriguing summers.
Yeah.
And it's good to come back and reflect upon what you were able to do, whether that was hardly anything, very little, or something really, really big and something brand new, life changing. But it was a great summer. Hopefully I can move forward and learn from, you know, everything I learned this summer from being over there.
Yeah.
And implement that to my studies and my involvement with societies and people around me.
Well, I'm glad we do this first episode because this podcast isn't about us. So
exactly.
Let's get into these people that we're about to meet.
Let's do it.
Welcome to season 3.